Welcome to the Doghouse on ntnradio.com. And if you're not listening to us on ntnradio.com,
where.com.
Thank you.
I was going to say, where are you listening to?
Then you should go to ntnradio.com.
.com.
Okay, very good.
Hello, everybody. Sorry.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody. Hey, Ken, and I know this is completely un-motorcycle-related, but we're both nerds, and Warren kind of is a nerd, so if he was here. Did you see the new Guilfoyle commercial? The guy who plays Guilfoyle?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. What was the commercial about? Because I did see him in something.
he's wearing a suit and all.
Yeah, and he looks completely different, right?
Yeah, like it was only his voice that I recognized. Yeah. I don't know what... See, this shows you sometimes using people way out of character is great. But now I don't even remember what the commercial was for.
Yeah, that's what
I was so shocked Guilfoyle was in it. I think it was like E-Trading or something like that.
It might have been. I have no idea, but I did see it. Right. And it looked nothing like him. And I said, one minute, is that Guilfoyle?
Like, I heard that. I know that voice. Right? Yeah. I recognize people by their voice. I'm like, wait, I know that voice.
That's a great character. That show's got great characters.
That show is great. I like it. It's fun. I started watching that show, The Ranch.
Oh.
Not so good. On Netflix?
Is that about the chicken ranch?
No, it's about a cattle ranch.
I'm already not interested.
It's about a cattle ranch. It's got Ashton Kutcher and the guy who played Hyde in that 70s show and Sam Elliott. But it's just not that good.
Sam Elliott's what, 120?
74? Yeah, pretty much 120.
I think he's like 120.
So yeah, it's not that good.
It doesn't sound that good. It'd be better if it was about the chicken ranch. Then I'd be entertained. I'd be interested, right?
Yeah, something. The Bunny Ranch.
The Bunny Ranch, Chicken Ranch, they're chicken all the same. Ranch. Yeah, they're all the same. That's a ranch I could get into.
I doubt it. Or at least nobody would know if you were there.
That's right.
Anyways, that was a little messed up. But yeah, I don't know what brought on the whole Guilfoyle thing, but I had to bring that up. We have a little bit of sad news. And I don't know necessarily if you're going to recognize the name, because most of the time people don't recognize his name, but when you tell them who he is, everybody's like, oh, yeah. Barry Boone passed away this week. He's been the American flat track announcer guy. He's called, like, the telecast. He's got his podcast, which is...
This is the guy that's on there that I said was driving me crazy? Is that the guy?
Not...
The guy that gives everybody a name?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, that's the guy?
I think that's Barry Moon. I don't know. Yeah, I think so.
Barry Big Daddy the Moon?
Barry Boone.
Barry Big Daddy Boone?
Yeah, Big Daddy Boone. Anyways, his family's not saying what he passed away of, but he's been like a track announcer and an announcer for AMA Flat Track for as long as I can remember. The family's not saying what happened, so I don't know. I don't know if he was battling any sickness or anything. I don't really know.
When was the last time you heard him on a broadcast?
That's what I was trying to figure out. Like,
has he been gone for a while?
You know, well, he usually does the track things, and then this year they brought in that idiot Bubba Blackwell.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Right, and I don't know.
So maybe he's been ill.
Maybe he's been out. Like, it's hard because I don't watch Flat Track all the way through. Mm-hmm. So, you know, nobody's really talking, I'm so-and-so midway through.
Right.
Right? So, except for when they go, let's go down to that idiot Bubba Blackwell. He's like, hey, you're on that Harley. How come it ain't orange? You think I can bring my Road King out here?
God, why did they do that?
It's the same reason Supercross tried with that moron Rutledge doofus.
Oh, yes, that's right.
who literally ruined NASCAR this week.
Oh, really?
Thank God Supercross, or last week, I'm sorry, last week. Thank God Supercross got rid of that idiot. Mm. Because he was doing the same dumb stuff that he used to do on Supercross, you know, and he did a promotion where he got a couple drivers and took them out one more, walked through, like, the camping area, I guess. I don't know. I didn't actually see the promotion, but they were giving away Dunkin' Donuts, and he's making the drivers talk about how good the Dunkin' Donuts were. And one of the drivers was sponsored by Subway, who's a Dunkin' Donuts rival, for breakfast. And they laid into their driver and pulled their sponsorship of the car and caused all kinds of fight. That NASCAR got caught in the middle. Not that NASCAR isn't dying anyways, but they got into a bunch of trouble because that guy's an idiot.
Yeah, he won't be back.
I hope not. I mean, I was glad to see Supercross get rid of him. I hope they ban him from television. That's just my thoughts. Anyways, I'm sorry to hear about the passing of Barry Boone. I always enjoyed his commentary and stuff. Flat Track did race this weekend locally there in Williams Grove. I did not make it. I know I talked about going, but my weekend just turned to, for lack of a better word, poopy. So I just had a lot going on where I just couldn't make it. I know Warren didn't make it, but a lot of people were there. I had a friend that was there. He wore his Motor America shirt, which nobody knew what it was there. He said everybody was in a Harley, and he said, and the place was packed. He's a kid that also went down to VIR for the Motor America races. He said there was about 700,000 times as many people at Williams Grove than at VIR for the Motor America races. So, but they raced there, and we had Jared Mead. Well, you know, we should probably talk the singles. Shayna Texter is doing a an Eli Tomac.
Yeah, she's like screwing a pooch.
She is screwing the pooch. She didn't even make the finals again. This is the fifth or sixth time all season that she hasn't made the finals. You're at a half-mile track.
That's what happens when you start showing up on the cover of magazines.
Yeah, right? It's like the magazine publicity curse.
Yeah, it's right, exactly.
She's now actually 37 points back now, I think. With two races to go, right? I mean, she's got to win. I'm sorry, 29 points. Yeah. 29 points back with two races to go. She's going to have to...
She's going to need help.
She's going to need help. She's going to have to take some people out before the race. Yeah. You know, and the weird thing is Kobe Carlisle, the flying tomato, the kid with the red hair. I just bring that stuff up because I know you hate it.
Right.
He's in the points lead, and he hasn't won a race all season.
Well, it works.
Yeah, it works. He's consistently a third through fifth kind of guy. He's got a couple of eights, a second, but a lot of fours and threes.
Well, it helps when the person who should be walking away with it decides to take a nap.
Well, when you look at it, he's made all the finals.
Yep.
Oh, no, all but one. I'm sorry, he missed one. He made all but one finals. And she's missed one, two, three, four, five, six. Six! Oh! Good lordy, lordy.
That's terrible.
You know, now a couple were because she didn't race the TTs and stuff like that, but you still got, or she tried to race the 450s or the bigger cuts, but you gotta make the finals. In the four,
gotta be in it to win it, right, Phil?
That's true. It's like Lotto. The twins, Jared Mead pulled off yet another win. Now he got back-to-back wins. He's got 9 wins. He's got a 70. He's the champ because he's got a 70-point lead with 2 races to go.
Done.
Mm-hmm. Pull it over. Baker came in second, and then Briar Bauman came in third. It was a good race. They were at Williams Grove. I did watch some of it on Fans Choice. It was definitely entertaining. The place did look packed, like my buddy was saying. And it was definitely, you know, he's got this locked up. Indian has dominated. It looks like I'm pretty sure there's almost no way in hell that they don't end up with the top three points. Sammy Halbert is 23 points behind Baker, so he needs Baker to have 2 really crappy races, and Baker's riding a third and a second all the way to third place in points, which would work. That gives Indian a top 3 sweep, which just got to be a big punch in the gut to Harley.
Has that ever happened before?
I don't know. I am going to have to look.
I'm going to guess that a single manufacturer has never swept out the top 3 positions before.
I'm going to have to look. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yep.
Maybe if they had a year where they only ran one factory.
Yeah, right. Yeah. In the Harley series, Harley won all.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't count.
But yeah, that doesn't count. But you're probably not going to know because up until this past year, a lot of guys had Harley and Kawasaki bikes and stuff. Right. So they didn't really have manufacturing teams.
Right.
So probably you're not going to get that. Do we want to play Taps or do we want to go into MotoGP? Let's do a little Taps. Right, where are we? I lost them. Here we go. if you're asking what this is about. Read an article about how Motor America, and it was on roadracingworld.com. You can go and change it for yourself. Motor America will make several changes to its classes and structures for 2018.
Right.
It's a death spiral, folks.
Yes.
Let's change the rules. Let's not promote the race.
Right. Let's just change our classes.
Hoping to grab some CCS guys.
Is that what the problem is? Are they even willing? Are they looking in the mirror and seeing what the problem is?
No, they're not.
I'm wondering if there's...
Warren talks all the time, and you can watch races a month behind, and I've been watching the races. I know I've been bitching about it. Mm. I bitch that I can't watch live, but I've been watching the races. It's actually decent racing. Need to get some... If there was more money in it and the sponsors were getting seen and stuff like that, where you could have a couple more competitive teams, right? The top four guys, five guys, there's a group of six guys that are battling a lot.
But the thing that makes me wonder is, do they even realize why sponsors sponsor teams?
I don't think they do.
Yes, on occasion you will get sponsors who sponsor a team because they think it'd be cool to have their own race team. But that's not the rule. That's the exception.
Right.
The rule
They're
is
treating
generally,
it like club racing. We've been saying this
all year. Right. And the rule is that sponsor teams because they want the exposure for their products that they're selling.
Right.
Products or services, whatever. But they're trying to get it's advertising, right? And they spend good money for advertising. Yeah. If nobody sees it, it's kind of worthless advertising.
That's right.
And I keep going back to what the comments that were made by, Josh Herron's team, 3 weeks ago, a month ago? Where they said that it's no longer worth them putting the money into it. When one of your teams says it's not worth... Yeah, Mean Motorsports.
Like, I would say Mean was a second-tier team, right? You had the two factory rides, and then you had Mean.
Yeah. And when they say it's not worth the money you're spending on it right now, the series, that to me, that... When those people that are that close to the series say that, that's dismal. That's like the worst thing
that's
you can...
That's the death march.
Yeah, that's the... I think so. That was the first sound of taps, I think, even though we saw it coming. I don't know. I don't know why they're doing what they're doing, but more importantly, I don't know why they're not doing what they're not doing. Is it financial? And if it is financial, then they need to go out and get help.
Right. Crave Group is supposed to be some kind of financial group. Crave Financial is what it's called, right?
There's the members, the different letters in there come from different areas. But they were supposed to be, the argument was that they were really well financed. But just because you're really well financed doesn't mean, people think that, people aren't going to spend every penny they've got to try and prop up a series. Each of the members probably made a certain commitment of how much money they would spend a season. And that may be just enough money to cover what their expenses are.
Right.
And their expenses will not grow the series.
Right. And exactly. It's either being starved from the inside, or they just are clueless, right?
Or they're being very poorly advised.
Right. And they're talking about opening up a 300 Superstore series that will be age restricted, and it'll be the Moto America Junior Cup, right? Which will replace the KTM Cup. And they're saying, well, that will open up to all makes to show other ones. What this says to me is we're SOL, and we're going to try and steal guys when we have a local weekend from the CCS and ASRA series come in and try and be wild cards to help pay our track bills.
And the proof in that is that the age range allowed in that series is 14 to 22, something like that?
22.
Yeah, it's like... That's basically saying anybody who's a club racer, you're welcoming in, and the RC Cup was intended to be a growth series for younger riders.
Yeah.
By the time you get 22,
you're old.
Well, 22, you're not likely to end up in any significant way in professional motorsports.
And they're changing the 1,000, the super bikes and the super stocks to be a big bore class. They're changing the 600. They're doing all these changes, and it's like,
there was only one thing in I was actually in favor of one change they made.
I'm listening.
Right. I think just having the 600 be the super sport class, which kind of takes us back to where we were before.
Right,
before
with the Daytona sport bike.
Right, the old Daytona sport bike thing. I actually agree with that. I think that's a positive move. Well, I think the part of the problem was they cannot staff a super stock class at the 600 level. They can't.
Right. They can't. And they can't, and at the super stock, they can't staff a super bike class, so they're trying to do away with super stock to make super bike a bigger class.
Yeah, and then the problem with that is the reason we had the super stock class was for financial reasons.
Yeah.
So that people could get in a lower level.
And they talked about, we're trying to do things that make it affordable for our racers. Well, if you change the rules and make them rebuild their bikes every year, that's not actually cheaper.
Yeah, and I didn't have a problem with the super stock class. My problem I had was they were trying to make themselves be more like World Superbike, so if they were going to do that, then they should be running the super stock separate from Superbike, right?
Right, but they didn't have enough super bikes, right?
Right.
It looks really crappy when you have 8 bikes out there.
It does. It does.
Even less at Pittsburgh.
So then you need to do a better job of recruiting teams, right?
Yeah, right. It's all about the sponsors, mm-hmm. right? It's sports, especially racing, it's about sponsors.
And sponsors. About being seen. They want, if you put your name on a bike, you want it to be seen.
You know the article I want to read on Road Racing World?
Mm-hmm.
Moto America hires marketing group to help teams find sponsors.
Yeah.
That's the article I want to read. Yeah. Anything else is just we're going to make it exclusive and F the rest of you.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I wouldn't want to be that marketing company because the first thing that anybody you're going to go out to is saying, where will my brand be seen?
Well, the marketing company will work with Moto America to make it a better thing.
Well, you're going to pay on both ends then, right? You're going
to
pay.
You're
going
to have to.
And you're going to have to pay to actually get...
You didn't build it right. It's never cheaper to rebuild.
No, but just putting yourself on the same network that World Superbike is on is not going to do you any good when that is primarily being seen in Europe and South America and not in the U.S.
Right. Right, like, where's Mean going to get their advertising from?
Right.
South America?
Right.
ESPN Deportes?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that is. Did I say that right?
Yes.
I think I did.
Yes, you did.
I nailed the Spanish there. That's my one Spanish word of the day. Oh, I said Jose, too. So you did. I got two.
Jose.
Good. But, yeah, I just was like, I read this, and I just get frustrated. It's like every time I don't want to talk about them, they do something that frustrates me more.
Yeah. Well, we tried. I mean, we in person gave advice to them, what, 3 years ago?
Two years ago.
Yeah, I think you're right, 2 years ago. Advice on what they needed to do if they wanted to actually beef up the attendance on, at the track for the events, and it fell on deaf ears. So I don't know what else we can do.
Yeah, I
maybe one of those letters in the Crave group needs to change to somebody who knows something about marketing sports.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
No doubt that Wayne Rainey knows a lot about racing.
No question about that.
He doesn't seem he knows the business of motorsports.
I don't think so, but he has been the person that needed to have sponsorship, so I'm actually, in a way, surprised, but maybe he was counting on getting help from,
Well, I got to imagine places like Honda and all these people were like, oh, yeah, Wayne Rainey, we're all in, and then when he made the announcements, we're going to be on Bean and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, so anyway, I think the organization has got some issues that they need to address in the organization level. They don't know what they're doing, and I don't know. I mean, certainly consultants out there would be able to help them. So it makes me think it's a money problem.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's either a money problem or they're just dumb. And I don't think they are. I hope not.
I mean, some of these guys are successful businessmen. I just think it's
yeah.
They were counting on maybe the sport making them money at this point, and it's not working out so well.
Could be.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go on to a positive thing, a little fun.
Mm-hmm.
MotoGP,
yeah,
was in Misano.
They were in Misano.
Soggy Misano.
Soggy Misano.
Wow! Did you watch the Moto3 race?
I did.
The downpour.
Yep.
Oh man, they should have been on jet skis.
It was great.
It was great.
I hate to say that I was really entertained by crashes, but I was this weekend.
It didn't look like anybody really got hurt this weekend.
No. Nobody could get fast
except
enough
for
to
Alex,
get hurt.
Alex Marquez, who Warren jinxed.
Yeah, that's true. But that happened.
That happened in practice.
Yeah.
But the race itself was just crazy. Moto 3, Moto 2, even Moto GP. There are people going down in all of them.
Yeah. I mean, it was. I want to say that it was Moto 2, like the smallest finishing field, I think, in Moto 2 ever.
Yeah. And it could have been.
Like everybody was in the points, I think, the way it worked out. Everybody scored points. Yeah.
And it could have been that. It was close to that in Moto 3.
Real close to that in Moto 3 with 40 bikes.
Like 40 bikes. Yeah, right. I mean, it was like attrition.
Yep.
It was like, wow.
Yeah.
It looked like Barbuda after Irma went through at Misano.
It was entertaining, though.
And Fanati, Romano Fanati, just ran the wheels off that thing.
Yep. Yep.
Stayed up the whole time, which won you the race, right?
And that was the key.
He was quick. So, he finished like 20 seconds.
Yeah, quick is all relative. I don't think it was quick.
I'm pretty sure people there were as
quicker.
Relatives.
Quick enough. And it wasn't your typical Moto 3 race, so I was kind of entertained by that. Because I usually go fast forward and go to the end, but then I want to watch everybody falling. So.
Yeah, no, I got to admit, I was watching the falls. Too.
Yep.
I was like, yeah, this is pretty good. Yeah, Fanati won, Joe Mir. So the points there and stuff have tightened up some, but not a lot. I think they were 1 and 2 in the points. And Fanati gained a few points on Joe and Mir, but really not that much. He's within 60 points or so.
There's still enough racing left.
But he's gonna be a struggle.
Yeah.
Pretty much it threw Aaron Canet when he crashed. That was his championship point stream. Left with that. Then we get to Moto 2. We'll talk Moto 2 to race. Again, just a big old rainy mess.
And you know who's amazingly fast in the rain?
Apparently, Agurta.
Yeah, he was fast, but so was Morbidelli. Morbidelli was fast.
You're always fast till you crash.
That's right.
You're always fastest right before you crash.
Yep. The thing about it was he was way ahead, and he, instead of taking it easy and slowing down, it was like he was setting incredible times, right?
Here's the thing, right? And I don't know what's the right answer, right? Sometimes when a track's wet or soupy, like in motocross, you see that one guy and it's your rhythm, right? I feel even just driving in the rain, it's about rhythm. It's easy in the gas, easy off the gas. But once you set that rhythm up, you get that false security, like nothing's gonna happen.
I mean, Morbidelli was fast from the beginning,
right? And I felt like he had this rhythm, and I'm like, he's gonna walk away. I picked the wrong donkey.
Yeah, I think he was, was looking for the edge, and he never found the edge until the time that he went down.
Well, but when he found the edge, it was like, whoopsie.
It was unlike MotoGP, which we'll talk about in a minute, in which case Marc Marquez was catching the edge all the time. I mean, he almost wrecked like 5 times, but. In Moto2, Morbidelli was having a smooth ride up to the point that he went down.
Yeah.
And watched his championship lead go away.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
And we had our first 1-2 Swiss podium that I remember.
No, I think probably the first 1-2 in history. It
could be.
Yeah.
Dominic Agutter or Agurta.
It was chocolate bars for everybody after that race.
Chocolate bars. Yeah. Damn it, I would have went.
Yeah.
He finished first. Then Luthi, who... You know, it's the second half of the season. He's always strong, and he was humping it in the rain too.
Mm-hmm.
After Morbidelli went back down, I was like, okay, get clear of Happy Siren, and just ride right.
Yep.
And then he was pushing to a point where he caught up with him.
Yep.
And I was like, no. I'm like, fall back the second. Don't be stupid. Don't lead. Let him find the slick spot in the puddle. Drop back a turn.
Yep.
Right? That's all you need, a turn.
Mm-hmm.
And he did get back a little bit and gave some breathing room, which ended up being a good thing points-wise for him.
No, and it was good for you, too.
It was definitely good for me. Because Phil picked Luthi.
Phil picked Luthi, and I thought, that's such a risk. That's the thing. It's a wreckers or checkers thing, but you know, sometimes he just, and a lot of times he'll, like, you don't understand, I don't with him, is that the race will start out and he'll like drift back and get stuck sort of in the middle.
And he did in this one, right?
He
stuck back for a little while.
He did in this one. Fortunately, in front of him, a lot of people went down.
Yeah.
A lot of people went down.
All right, doesn't have to pass that guy. Don't have to pass that guy. That guy stopped to go fishing in the track.
Yeah, there were two guys that were fast the whole race consistently, and that was Agurta and Morbidelli.
And Morbidelli. Yep. Well, not the whole race because Morbidelli didn't finish.
No, he was extremely fast up until the race ended for him.
Yeah, that is actually true.
Mm-hmm.
Points-wise, it's now a race in Moto 2.
It's a dead tie, right?
No, that's MotoGP.
Oh, okay.
Moto 2 is Morbidelli, who stormed out this season like...
Oh, he's ahead by like 5, right?
Nine.
Oh, nine. I thought it was 5. It's maybe. Nine. Oh, no, no. If Luthi had won, it would have been five.
Yeah,
right?
Five or four. Would it? Something like that.
No, I think it would have been 5.
Yeah. But yeah. So he is like, it's now all of a sudden a race. Well, we thought early Morbidelli was going to walk away with it, right? I mean, he was on a hot streak.
Well, I mean,
now he's kind of not been so hot.
I tell you what, he's in a terrible position for a guy who's won, what, 8 races? That's terrible.
Yeah, he's not, right. It's, right. It's like, oh, hey, this is not what the way this...
No,
that's not how this is supposed to work.
Yeah, and it's not going to be fun now because now the pressure is going to be on him because if he blows his championship...
We're going to call him Eli... We're going to say Morbidelli is Italian for Eli Tomac.
Yeah, and now these that already got... Well, both him and Luthi both have MotoGP rides now, so...
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but you still want to try and go out a champion.
Yeah, you want absolutely you want to get the championship, right? I know Luthi would.
I know
Luthi people would. People said that he would was always going to be like a bridesmaid and never the bride.
Yeah, they right? were like, he's going to be a Pedrosa.
Yeah, right.
And then we go over to MotoGP and
Where the fastest guy when the track was dry was Maverick Vinales. Did you watch any of the practice?
Yeah, right.
He looked really, really strong. And like,
nobody
yeah,
picked him. Nobody picked him in the pool. I'm not gonna lie. It's a good thing. I looked and saw there was rain forecasts.
Yeah.
And I was like, Marquez.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because he's made all the right choices on tires.
Yeah, well, when to change, right?
That he's made the right choice on that mm-hmm. each time. I did not expect Petrucci to be up there. I mm-hmm. did not expect Lorenzo to go out and win, but thank God he was like, woo, I'm out in the lead. He threw it away.
I wasn't the worst bit surprised by that. You know I wasn't. It was like he was ahead and he was stretching out and everything, and I said, I'll give him 5 more laps. I think he lasted 4 more for you.
Right? You jinxed him?
I knew it was going to happen. It's like, you know, I'm sorry. It's like he could have walked away with that race, right? He was like doing the Morbidelli dance.
Yeah.
Right?
And he did. He even did it just like Morbidelli.
Let me see how fast I'm going to be just before I go down.
Yep. Wreckers are wreckers.
Right, right.
And then Dovizioso pulled a third out, who was pretty quick for a little
mm-hmm.
while.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys went down in that race. Two Ducatis on the podium.
Yeah, one of them was a satellite team.
One was a satellite team.
Right.
Right? So it was like, whoo. But Marquez looked good in the race. It was a rain race. And he was pushing it.
I wouldn't say he looked good.
He was sliding around, but he was looking good.
Were you not worried watching it?
Oh, yeah. I was chewing my fingernails off.
Yeah. I was totally panicked because it was like he kept having these big moments on the bike. And it was like, there's no way he's going to finish this race. But then the track started to dry out a little bit. You notice that made all the difference in the world.
It did. And then they put his slicks on, and everybody was in the panic mode in the pits putting their slicks on. Mm. And I'm like, I don't think it's going to dry out that much. No. I don't think it's going to dry out that much. No. He's just playing with them.
Yep.
Right? And he ended up winning, which was good for him. It's now tied the points up. We're at 199 points apiece. In MotoGP,
which is that's perfect. It makes it for a much more entertaining series. Yeah. I mean, Moto World Superbike could only hope for that, right?
Yeah, and Maverick Vinales is only 16 points back of that.
Yeah,
right. So I mean, you got three guys, and up until this week, had Rossi ran, you'd have had 4 guys. But Rossi,
you mean
still
Maverick Vinales, who at one time was up by 70 some points?
Yeah, Maverick Vinales.
And now he's complaining he's only at a 100-point swing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I don't think anybody's worried about Maverick Vinales
right
now. Rossi, he's done.
He's done, right? Yep. It's just too many.
He'll be too many points. So
too many points.
He's pretty much done.
Although
so.
I heard he's back on the bike practicing.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. He couldn't afford to lose those points.
No,
so.
He couldn't.
Now it's a matter of whether it's going to be Dovizioso or
Marquez.
And I heard that Casey Stoner was going to sabotage Dovizioso when he was not around. He doesn't want anybody else winning on the Ducati.
Well, I think Casey Stoner is going to be like, all right, I'll take that wild card and win just to screw it up for right, him. Yep. Right? I could see that. Casey Stoner hates people that much.
Yeah.
I don't know if he hates Dovi that much, but he does hate a lot of people that much.
I don't know. His big claim to fame was, I could always adjust to that bike, and nobody else did. They always wanted the bike to adjust to them.
Yeah.
Well, now Dovizioso seems to have adjusted, so.
Yep. So that's where we're sitting. I want to bring up one of our pool members brought up an interesting fact. They said in the last 3 Moto2 races, Warren has jinxed his way all the way to 2 points in 3 races. Three crashes, and Marquez last round did manage to get back up to give him some points.
Mm-hmm.
This weekend coming up, we got World Superbike in Portimao. Don't forget to get your picks in if you're in the pool. Mm-hmm. Richard is still leading the pool. He's just... walked away from us a little bit in the last couple weeks. Although he only got 25 points this week, it was important. Hawkeye and Phil did the best this week. That's Phil me.
Because they picked the same thing. Yeah.
I picked and then he's like, y'all have some of that. I was like, ah, man. Nobody picked the winner in Moto 2 because no one thought a girder would win.
Of course not.
Right? I mean, we were being realistic.
Yes. somebody got a double and they'd picked a Gerda, I would have to say, you know,
fix.
We're not worthy.
So, yeah, right? Yeah. Fix or something like that. We'll be back next week. We'll talk a little bit about World Superbike and some of the other stuff going on.